You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Any God will do. Will he? No, said Jesus. He won't.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, how good you are to us, in spite of our willfulness and waywardness, forgiving our sins and leading us to life everlasting through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to look to you for real life, not fooled by all the idols that arise to attract and distract our attention. Looking to you, we pray, in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I wish I could tell you how many times people have said to me, it is important to believe in God, some God, just about any God. And then they often add, we're all going to the same place, aren't we? I don't know about you, but for me, it is not true that any God will do. I noticed that it was not true for Jesus Christ either. He said, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There certainly are gods many and lords many. In spite of all the efforts to eradicate religion in various parts of the world, people know better. It would not be far off the mark to say that people are naturally religious. They have a feeling that God exists, and they also have a feeling that they ought to be doing something, at least every now and then, to please him. Often they cook up some mighty strange ways to please him, but that should be no surprise. They also have cooked up some mighty strange gods. George Gallup, the well-known pollster, reports a survey which discloses that 97% of the American population believes that God exists. They have a feeling about this, and a great part of that 97% probably will also tell you that they don't know who God is, and they don't really care what he is all about. One college student said, yes, I believe in God, but I'm not nuts about him. Any God will do. Will he? No, said Jesus, he won't. Jesus was just as explicit as anybody can be. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's not a question of whom you make out to be God. God is going to be God, no matter what you think or what you do. You can't make God in your own image, nor can you remake God to fit the image you have of him. God will be God, whether you like it or not, and whether you recognize him or not. God will be God, showing his hand in his own good way and at his own good time. The one true God shows his hand to the world for everyone to understand. He shows his hand in Jesus Christ, his Son. In that baby born, that grown man walking the dusty roads of the promised land, that suffering servant enduring a cross and dying for the sins of the whole world, and in that Jesus of Nazareth raised from the dead, to be declared the Son of God with power, the great God, shows his hand, as the Son himself said, "This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Down through the centuries, the family of God become sons and daughters of the living God by faith in Jesus Christ, has confessed its faith in the one true God and in Jesus Christ whom God has sent to be the Savior of the world. That faith has spread throughout the world, and the disciples of Christ found today in every part of the world. Sometimes they're numerous and sometimes they're few. Sometimes they're known and sometimes unknown, but there they are, confessing their faith in Jesus and in God by whom Jesus was sent. They are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They believe in God, the Father of Jesus Christ, and their Father too, by faith in Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus, their Savior, and they believe in the Holy Spirit, sent by Jesus himself as the Lord and Giver of life. One of the earliest confessions of that faith is the Apostles' Creed. It is like a pledge of allegiance, a declaration of faith in Jesus, the faith whereby people live and die. It is faith stated joyfully and gratefully, known personally and declared publicly. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in life everlasting. It is a personal response, publicly given, to the statement of Jesus himself. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I believe that myself. I believe in Jesus, and I trust him for my salvation. I don't have the answer to every question, but I believe that God is in control, in spite of all the things that happen to make it look as if nobody is in control. I do not believe for one moment that any God will do. There's no life in that, no real life, only more questions. I believe that Jesus is the Son, sent by his Father to disclose the heart of God toward the whole world. He loves even when people do not love him. He's near even when people are far from him. He forgives sins which often look as if they're directed at other people, but actually are directed against God himself. And he gives life, real life, life that can truly be called eternal, to all who trust in Christ and believe what he says. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God is in control. God was in control when his Son died for the sins of the world. And you can depend upon him to be in control right now. If the Son could pray that the Father would forgive those who were crucifying him, I have the confidence that the Father, out of the goodness of his heart and for the sake of his Son who died, forgives my sins too. You can have that confidence just as I can. That confidence comes to me, as it must to you, out of the good news of Jesus. In that good news of Jesus is the power of God's Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus himself. The conviction that Jesus is the Son and the Savior, sent by God, is really a gift of the Spirit of God, telling us all that it's really true. Jesus is the promised one, the Son of God. Believing in his great name, you receive what God has to give, eternal life. This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's not enough to know about God. Jesus is talking about knowing God, knowing him for what he is, having him as a friend, the giver of every good gift, including life itself. There's no substitute for knowing God. It's possible to know about God and yet not to know him. Some of the most religious people in the world obviously do not know God. If they did know him, they would not be the people that they are. So often, religious people are just as selfish as other people who are not religious. They hate just as others hate who do not know God. They refuse to forgive, even though they talk glibly about the forgiveness of God. God, the only true God, has to be known personally. Otherwise, he is not known at all. As Jesus told a lot of religious people in his own time, you don't know God because you don't recognize the Son he has sent. It's as simple as that. Knowing Jesus, really knowing him and trusting him, is knowing God. But knowing Jesus and not trusting him is exactly the same as not knowing God at all. Nobody has ever been saved by religion, of course, no matter how fine the religion may be that he practices. Salvation comes from God. It comes to people with faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. This is not a gimmick. It is God's way of being known. It's the way that works because the power of God is in it. It's not true that any God will do. It is true. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. God is in control. God loves. God forgives. That forgiveness comes personally to people who recognize their need for forgiveness and repent of their sins. It comes with faith in God, really knowing him. It comes with faith in Jesus Christ, really knowing and loving Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his Son, crucified for the sins of the world, and raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, to be the Savior of the whole world. And in the Spirit of God, drumming with the good news of God on the hearts of people and reawakening them to life which is truly eternal. The creed of the church is based solely on the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the law of God, all of us learn that we are sinners. And in the creed, we tell ourselves what God has done and continues to do for everyone. It's the story of God's love and grace for sinful people like ourselves. Gracious care, gracious redemption, gracious work in the hearts of people. All are good news, and all in Christ Jesus, God's Son. In a way, the creed is also a prayer. It's the prayer of people who do know God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It's not just that Jesus has told us to pray to God as our Father, but that he's opened the way to pray to him as our Father. You're able to pray to God as your Father, knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ treats you with all fatherly goodness, without any merit or worthiness in you. He does that out of the goodness of his heart, which the Bible calls his grace, as you see it in the face of Jesus Christ. God is in control. He is the Lord of life. Without him, you could be anything and still be nothing. With God in control of your life, you're someone, you're loved, you are forgiven, you have life, all his gift in Jesus, his Son, the great gift of the living God to the whole world, his gift to you. Not with gold or silver, said Martin Luther, quoting the Apostle Peter, have you been redeemed? But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is a great gift, not to be despised, and certainly not to be rejected. It is God's gift to you. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In his explanation of the creed, Martin Luther added one little word. It will be my last little word to you today. This is most certainly true. Amen.